grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I've stated at the start of our worship service, it is indeed wonderful to be back here at our Savior's here in the good old U.S. of A., having traveled and spent almost 2 weeks out of the country with six other from our Savior's Lutheran Church, whom y'all commissioned 2 Sundays ago to go to Kitale, Kenya. Needless to say, we are thankful to our Lord Jesus Christ for all your prayers and your wishes for us, and for the privilege and the honor and the opportunity and the ability to bring greetings and well wishes to the church, to the children, and to the staff at Liberty School, with whom we are in partnership with. Even more, I am thankful beyond words for the faithfulness and the compassion of my team members. And I can't wait for us to share with y'all our reports and our experiences on this trip. And we'll do that on Sunday, July 24th. And so I hope that you will come and be willing to hear and be amazed at all that we seen, heard, tasted, experienced while we were on our mission. Now, those of you who followed us on Facebook, and I thank Deborah Kern and Lisa Price for updating daily on Facebook our ventures. Those of you who were able to follow us on Facebook got a pretty good idea of how awesome and how humbling, at the same time, how amazing the trip was. And again, we thank God for his provisions, for his protection, and for his presence through it all. Now, on this 4th of July weekend, as we explore today's gospel reading, and as I've reflected on what I experienced and learned while in Kenya, I've concluded that there are two aspects of life that I fear, that I truly fear are diminishing in our culture today. These two aspects of life that are diminishing are vulnerability and hospitality. As written in today's reading, Jesus calls us and Jesus sends out 70 of his followers on a mission. And he sends them to be vulnerable. And he sends them to be hospitable. These are the two aspects of life that I've noticed from today's reading. Of course, Jesus' words to us today are very meaningful because these two aspects of life are to happen within the context of community. So there are actually three things we're to consider this morning in terms of being sent out: vulnerability, hospitality, and community. Now, as I've said earlier, we live in a culture that is continually experiencing the diminishing and the disintegration of these three things. Now, I know that you know that as Americans, we have fallen in love and highly respect the idea of self-made person. We love the rags-to-riches story. As a result, we have created the myth that if you make it to the top of your profession, not only do you deserve a huge salary and the best of everything you got coming to you, but you can say and you could do anything you want, no matter who you hurt or offend, And no matter what, you destroy in the process. That's the myth that we've created in our belief in self-made person. And as a result, we Americans live as invulnerable human beings, as if nothing could ever faze us nor cause us to flinch. Hence, we perpetuate the ethos, the belief of rugged individualism, which virtually permeates and influences the way in which we think about such things as achievements, education, works and vocation. It permeates and influences the way we think about how we live and how we raise our children, the way we perceive, the way we relate, and the way we welcome others. It influences and it permeates even the way in which we understand faith and religion. You know, while we were in Kenya, last Thursday we had an experience of visiting a traditional Maasai tribe village. The Maasai people are proud people, but they live in such a way that everything is communal. In this particular village that we visited, there are 250 of them, men, women, and children, and a bunch of cattle and dogs. But in this particular village, everything is decided by the village. Even the food and the things, the souvenirs and so forth, they sell, they all benefit the entire village. One of the households that my wife and I visited, the soon-to-be chief of the village, told us that there are different roles that members of the village play. The women, they do everything from building the homes from the ground up to caring for the children and cooking and so forth. And the men, they meet every morning to talk about village issues and who needs to do what and what needs to go where. And they make the decisions as a community. It is a fascinating village life, different from what we're used to in our rugged individualism. Now, in the similar ways of the Maasai tribes of Kenya, over 400 years ago, the pilgrims and the pioneers who settled this land were incredibly aware that their survival depended on each other. They established what we call today the commonwealth, places where the good of any individual was directly linked to the good of the whole. Sounds a foreign concept to us today. And those of you who remember the history lesson, you would recall how even Benjamin Franklin, Uncle Benny, one of the founding fathers, he declared at the signing of the Declaration of Independence that we must hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. Today our national politics seem to revel, enjoy, perpetuate, and seem to thrive on the notion that we are a divided people, that we are a divided country. Sadly, such a notion has crept and bled into the very fabric of our society and even in the churches. As a result, there are many who believe that the only way for our union to exist is to shame and ridicule others, to dismiss and devalue others, to eliminate and destroy those who hold different views and perspective from ours. Friends, it is striking to me that on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate our nation, our independence, our identity as people, our scripture, our assigned lectionary reading teaches us about vulnerability, about hospitality, and about community. Why? Because when it comes to our life of faith, the reality is that the Bible often paints a picture in direct opposition of what our culture and society has become. Notice how Jesus sends 70 of his followers out on a mission. He sends them not as individuals, but in pairs. And he sends them with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Yes, he sends them out completely unprepared and vulnerable. Why? So that they will know whose mission they're on, Jesus' mission. So that they will also know in whom they must trust and lean on for their protection, for their provision, for their peace, God himself. Well, 7 of us from this congregation know something about being sent out on a mission, sent out to a culture and to a people that's vastly different from ours. However, unlike the 70 disciples in Luke's gospel, we were totally prepared for this mission. We were loaded for bears. We brought everything that we thought we'd need and then some. After all, as Americans, we believe in being prudent, efficient, and ready for what the world has to offer. Now, frankly, I cannot imagine having been sent out with just the clothes on our backs. Although, it would have made those airport security checkpoints a lot faster and a lot easier. So according to Luke, vulnerability is implicit in the mission to which Jesus calls and sends his disciples, as he sends them out in pairs, not as individuals. And he instructs them to rely entirely upon the hospitality of others. Of course, he's also very blunt about how difficult and dangerous their missions might be. The 70 will be going into a hostile territories. Yet Jesus does not arm them for battle. Rather, they will go out like lambs among wolves. Jesus sends them seemingly unprepared and quite uncertain of what they will encounter. In fact, some of the people they visit will not share in the message and the peace that they offer. But the gift Jesus gives as he sends them, is the gift of his own presence. The gift of the promise that he goes with them, and the gift of teamwork and trusting obedience. Yes, Jesus commands vulnerability. Jesus commands vulnerable dependence from his disciples as they go proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom drawing near. Friends, today's reading is very instructional for us on this holiday weekend. As we live in a culture that is increasingly narcissistic, we live in a society that is increasingly I-driven and me-centered, with progressively harsh edges that tend to divide and splinter. A culture in which weaponized speech and hostility against any we perceive as other or those people. Yet as modern-day disciples of Jesus, what are we to do? Well, we are to follow in the footsteps of the 70. To proclaim the kingdom of God is near, and to put to the person and to be persons of peace to those who have yet to be in relationship with Jesus. That's our mission. Yes, we have been called to be a community of people, not as individuals. A community of people who's to live and to share with all others the good news of God's love, God's grace, God's healing, and God's peace. Dear friends, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is the very mission of Jesus' church around the world. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is how we are called to live as we relate to all others. And this is what we are called to proclaim: the peace, the mercifulness, the forgiveness, the love, the power, and most of all, the presence of a living God in our midst. We're not to stay cocooned in our church buildings or within ourselves. Instead, as chosen and elected people of the kingdom, baptized and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, we are to be sent out to do the work that God calls us to do at every level, everywhere, at every time. And know that we do not work alone, because our mission is a shared mission. All baptized and sanctified children of God share in the same mission. And we are created and called for that community of faith wherever we are in the world. Together we have been appointed to go out into our communities and into the world to announce that God's kingdom is right on people's doorsteps. And as we go, we are to remember Jesus' promise that he is with us always through hell or high water. And we invite others into this mission of which we are a part of. And wherever the Holy Spirit leads us, let us never forget that the mission is Christ's mission. And we give thanks to God that Christ's mission has a church called Our Savior's Lutheran Church to carry it out. And wherever the Holy Spirit leads us, don't forget that the mission is Christ, and it is always to be carried out with compassion and respect for the dignity of all people. Yes, the mission of Christ is always one of grace, of forgiveness, of mercy, and of peace. And guess what? When you live in this way, it makes the mission and the work we do a lot more fun, because it's all about what God is doing. It's not about us. It's about God. Amen? Well, all glory, power, and praise be to God, who from the very beginning is now and forever shall reign and rule all that there is.